We got that brief pastoral hug in right there. That was awesome. I need to get that on my resume. I don't have our friendship. I didn't even think to put it on there, but you're right. That's the best part of my day, having a friend like that. Amen. Speaking of, so I always love coming to Summit Church and was here about a year ago. And every time that I come, one of the reasons why I love it is I'm always tempted because I just, plethora of the wealth of stories that I have about your lead pastor, it's just the amount of leverage I have in his life is just overwhelming. We've been remodeling, and I'll mention that here in a minute, but we've been kind of doing some work at the house. And so as part of that, my wife also wanted to just clear out like all of the stuff that we've just, you know, we've been in our house for, 14 years or so. So just the amount of stuff that's there. And while we were doing that, there was some box somewhere, and she pulls up these two tapes. It's a form of videotape that I don't even know what the format is. It's so old. It's maybe like Hi8 or Super 8. Does anybody remember that? I think that was a thing. I don't know. Anyway, Jamie's mom had a video camera. This is back before everybody documented every single second of their life. People didn't do that back then, so it was kind of a unique thing to actually videotape something. So we pulled out, and we were like, wonder what that is. And so then I was like, I'll bet Chris Young is on these videos. And this is a surprise, but we're going to shit. We're not really. Now, that would have been something if I'd pulled that off. But anyway, back then, for entertainment, Jamie and I were married, and we had an apartment while we were in our final year or two of Bible college. And so Chris would come over, and we would just stick the videotape on it, video camera on him, and he would just go. We'd turn on loud music, and he would dance and perform, and I mean, just do any number of comedic routines for us, and that's probably what's on that tape. And I did not bring it to you, but next time I come, now I'll never come again. Now I'll never get another invite. Amen. If you have a copy of God's word, why don't we get it out? Go to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. So I am grateful for Chris and Lisa and their family. They are just absolute dear friends, and we love them so much, love the family, and we're excited to get to be here with you guys again as well. I kind of consider myself like some weird extended stepchild of Summit Church. Is that okay if I just kind of like, all right, thank you for that. I don't know how sincere it was, but thank you. No, it's all. Luke chapter 17, I'm going to read from there. So I mentioned that we've been remodeling, and I love this series that we're in, Happy Thanksgiving, and I want to talk a little bit today about having an attitude of gratitude as it relates to our relationship with God. We've been remodeling a little bit, and we've been pulling some things out and trying to fix some things. And it's so amazing how you can go from gratitude to like a bad attitude in such a short amount of time. And I've found that during this remodeling process. And so we'll be working on something, and somebody, like, we've had some guys come over just super nice, like, we'll help. And so, man, I'm so grateful for that help. Thank you. So we're painting cabinets, and we're trying to do it right and put primer on the cabinets and then sand them down. And so these guys come over, and I'm grateful for them to help until they grab a paintbrush and start slopping like primer all over, and it's like bubbling up, and then I'm just like, this sanding is going to be so hard now. And it's amazing how I was grateful for them in one moment, and then now all of a sudden I'm just like, can you put that down and just go somewhere else? Thank you. Amen. And then my wife, she's been helping me too. We've been doing this project together, and so we put the primer on, and then we sand for smooth. So we were doing that for a while, and then my wife, when she would sand, I don't know if her hands were extra heavy or she just wanted that to be very, very smooth, so she would sand it back down to the wood. And then I would be like, oh, well, I'll paint that again now. We'll put primer back on there. We'll do that. That'll work. So I'll put primer back on there, and then she'd start sanding again, and then she'd be back down to the wood. She'd be like, here, that's smooth now. I'm like, well, that is smooth because that's wood. That's why there's nothing on there. I'll have to paint that again. So then I was grateful for her involvement in the project. And at some point, I got a bad attitude about her involvement. I said, tell you what, you paint and I'll sand. We'll just do it that way. We'll switch that role and then that'll work. But it's amazing just how quickly that can turn. That can kind of happen in our relationship with God, that maybe one thing at one point we were grateful for, we can start to get a different attitude about it. And I just want us to kind of take an honest look at where we're at, right? With our attitude of gratitude towards God, let's take an honest look, an honest assessment of where we are. And I feel like that as a result of these few minutes that we have here, I feel like that God's going to just ramp up. God's going to allow us to motivate us to kind of turn up our gratitude, our thanksgiving to him. And let's go to this passage of scripture and then we'll pray and ask God to help us. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. Luke chapter 17, and we're going to start right there, verse 11. It says, now on his way to Jerusalem, any guess on who the his is here? It's Jesus. Amen. You can guess Jesus almost every time in church, and it's right. It's just never the wrong. Even if they're in the Old Testament, you'd be like, Jesus, and be like, sort of, because in the beginning was the word, and you're still right. So it's okay. All right. On his way, this is who? Yeah, this really happened. On Jesus' way to Jerusalem, he traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him, and they stood at a distance, and they called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, take pity on us. And when he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw he was healed, he came back praising God in a loud voice. And he threw himself at Jesus' feet and he thanked him. Threw himself at Jesus' feet and he thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, we're not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? And then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Another version says, your faith has made you whole. Will you pray with us and just ask God to speak to us in these few moments we have? Father, I ask you to be strong in this room. God, I just pray a fresh anointing on your word right now. And we open this word and we receive this word, God. We just have a yes right now in our heart to you. We allow you to speak to us, to change us, to God, we just will respond and react with this word. I pray, God, for a change of mind, a change of attitude in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I heard a story about a married couple, and the wife had gotten so just put out with her husband. She was tired of it, and she felt like the marriage had been over for a long time. And so she goes to a counselor. Well, she ends up going and saying, you know, I'm going to divorce my husband. I can't take this anymore. And this counselor gives her an idea. He says, let's do this. Has he hurt you? She said, yes, he's hurt me. I've been so hurt. She goes, well, this counselor says, why don't we do this? You could divorce him now, but why don't you do this? Do you want to really hurt him in the process? She said, yes, I'm bitter. I'm angry. I really want to do this. He said, okay, let's do this. Why don't you, for the next 3 months, I want you to act like that you love him. I want you to act like he's the greatest thing ever. I mean, when he comes home, cook him his favorite meal, and I mean, love on him, and then he's gonna just get so used to this pampering, right? And this love that's oozing out of you, and then, boom, you can drop the hammer and serve the divorce papers, and it'll be weird. And she's looking over there like, oh, this will be great. She's loving this idea. So as they leave and they plan the appointment to come a few months from then, she goes home, she starts the process. I mean, she's serving him his meals. She's waiting for him at the door, hugging him when he gets home, telling him how much she loves him. And it just goes on for day after day after day after day. Pretty soon, after a couple months, that appointment lands where she's going to back to that counselor to give the report. And she gets in and the counselor says, well, are you ready for the divorce attorney? Are you ready for the phone number? She said, oh, no. She said, I could never divorce my husband. I love him so much. Our marriage has been just changed. Our marriage is so awesome, and he's such an awesome man. I just didn't even realize how incredible he was. And it's amazing that the main difference that happened was an attitude, right? She became grateful for something that just a few months, a few weeks back, she was ready to throw in the towel on. And attitude has a way of doing that, that we can be maybe some things in our life that we're not even grateful to God enough for. A change of attitude will change all of that. So an attitude of gratitude, and I want to pull some truth out of this passage that we read in Luke 17. I think an attitude of gratitude will take us from petition to praise. It'll take us from just being people who have petition with God to being people who can actually praise God. And we see in this verse, verse 12 of this, as Jesus is going along, there were 10 men who had leprosy. They were standing at a distance. They had to stand at a distance because of this condition. They were very aware of their condition. They were very aware of their need. They were not allowed to interact with people. And so that's not just a phrase that happens to find its way into this verse. No, they were standing at a distance because it was law for them to stand at a distance. They were not allowed to interact. And so as they stand at a distance, they call out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." They find themselves secluded from society, secluded from normal life, with great need. And that great need drives them to petition. Now, there's nothing wrong that when we go through tough times, and it's amazing, right? Sometimes we'll walk through some tough times in our life. Many times, those tough seasons of our life will drive us to God. Sometimes we walk through, there's some people in this room that have walked through something heavy enough where you say, "I was walking through it, and I knew more than ever that I needed God." As I walked through that season of whether it was sickness or whether it was a season of relational turmoil or something going on at work, but it was such a heavy, stressful season, you realize, you know what? I need God's help in this moment. There's nothing wrong with having that season of petition. The problem is if it just stays in that season of petition. If we never get to the point of praise, and that's what we see in verse 14, Jesus says to them, "Go show yourself to the priest," which again was part of the law. And so these guys, as they obey Christ, as they walk to the priest, something happens in the journey. So they're on their way to the priest, and boom, as they walk, I don't know if it was instantaneous or gradual, but as they walk, they were cleansed. And then only one of them. One of them, when he saw he was healed, he came back praising God in a loud voice. He throws himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. What I want to point out in this is this. His praise seemed like it was even louder than his petition. That's what I love about this. They're at a distance calling out. They did with a loud voice, "Jesus, can you help us?" But when this one comes back, he comes near Jesus. He's falling at Jesus' feet, being in a loud voice. It seems to me that his praise was louder than his petition. I want to be a person whose praise is louder than my petition. I don't want to just show up to God with my list of wants, my list of demands. When I spend my time with God and go, "God, I need this, this, and this, and this, and you have 7 days to meet my demands or else." Like, that's not going to be my attitude. No, I want to have need. That's fine. Bring my petition to God. But I also want to be a person that says, "God, and I thank you. Even louder than I had my petitions, now I praise you. I thank you for all you have done. I thank you for all you have given. I thank you that I can look in the rearview of my life and see times when God came through." Can anybody look back and see some times when God came through and he's worthy of praise? Amen? Yeah, that's the kind of person I want to be. We had a Tahoe a couple years back, and all the gauges in the Tahoe on the dashboard, they all went crazy. So the said we were going like 130 miles an hour all the time. It just said the speedometer didn't work, the oil pressure gauge didn't work, the gas gauge quit working. My son was driving that Tahoe and he ran out of gas on it because the gas gauge didn't work. I kind of could kind of feel it out. I just, as I was driving, I think it needs some gas. That's how we did it. He didn't have the same intuition. So he ran out of gas, and we push it to, we go meet him, and we push it to a gas station, and we fill it up full of gas. And then we sit there, and we're just trying to crank and crank it, and it's just trying to crank, and it won't start. And so I'm trying to figure this out because I'm like, it has gas. Why won't it start now? So we end up having to have it towed to a mechanic. And what had happened was, and they said this happens fairly regularly, some of you, probably all of you know more about cars than I do, so you're going to be like, "Oh, duh. All right, sorry." But I guess, especially on an older car, that when the fuel pump, because he was trying to start it, maybe even before, you know, when it did run out of gas, But a fuel pump, when it starts to try to pump and it's dry and there's no gas there, it'll burn out the fuel pump. And so that's what had happened, is the fuel pump burned out. And here's what was kind of surprising to me. It's like, it didn't matter how much gas was there. The pump wasn't getting the gas to the carburetor. The pump wasn't getting the gas where it needs to get. So I kind of look at praise that way. I kind of look at Thanksgiving that way. Philippians kind of talks about this in verse 6 of Philippians 4, 6. It says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, look at this, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. It's like the petition is the fuel, but it's the praise that pumps the petition to God. And so as I can include praise in my petition, that's when my petition gets to God. So I want to be a person that not just stops short at just, God, here's what I need, here's what I want, but I want to be a person of praise as well. The attitude of gratitude also takes us from this mindset or an attitude of entitlement to an attitude of indebtedness. From entitled to indebted. Look at verse 15. It says, one of them, when he saw he was healed, he came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet. He thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked him, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other nine? Has none of them returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? I don't know what the other nine did. I don't know if as they were walking, one of them thought, well, I was probably going to get better anyway. I don't know if another one thought as he walked, well, I'm going to wait and see how long this lasts and see if the leprosy comes back. I don't know if one was thinking, I'll just catch Jesus at some point when I see him and I'll see. I don't know if one of them thought, I don't know if this cure is actually real. I don't want to know if one of them thought, well, any rabbi could have done this. Like, I don't know what the nine were thinking, but could it be that on some level, there was an entitlement that had kicked in? Could it be that some of them thought, well, I deserve this. Why would I go back and thank him? I've earned this. I cried out to him. I mean, this is the least that God could do for me. Could there have been a moment of entitlement? That word entitled is this. It's to believing oneself to be inherently deserving of privileges. Man, we can slip into that with God so quickly. I just inherently deserve privilege. I inherently deserve prosperity. I inherently deserve everything that, God, you better give me everything you give to everybody else. Like, we just deserve this. We can slip into that. But indebted means this. Indebted is owing gratitude for a service or a favor. It's a whole different world. One night I was coming home, and I had we were in a busy season at church. And I was tired, and I think I was actually at the church that afternoon, that evening, working on some stuff that we were getting ready for, putting some stuff together, sets and whatever. And I was getting home kind of a little bit later that night, and as I drove home, man, I just kind of glassy-eyed. I just was like, I didn't really pay attention to what I was doing. I was just kind of going. And as I'm driving home, I get to the driveway, and I'm pulling up into the driveway, and I'm pulling a car into our garage, and there's one car that's in the driveway. And as I do, I had a fender bender. I crashed. Not one of our cars. I actually have the unique privilege of telling you that I crashed both of our cars in one moment, all by myself. Like, it was amazing. So I crashed both of our cars, and so then I had to walk into the house at that point, and I said, "Honey, hey, how are you?" And I said, I had a fender bender. Can you believe that?" She said, "Which car?" I said, "Strangely enough, both, both of our cars. I have bent fenders on this evening. This is awesome." And so, in that moment, I didn't bust. What I should have done, and in hindsight, I should have busted out 1 Thessalonians 5:18 on her. But like, that would have prepared for this moment. What I should have said is, "Now, honey, here's what I want you to know. We got to give thanks in all circumstances." You know, somebody say amen. "For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." I should have came into the house and be like, "Honey, I feel like I got a word from God for you. Do you want to be in God's will?" And then she would say, "Yes, I do." I said, "Well, then we got to give thanks in all circumstances." Now, let me tell you a funny story. That's how I should have done it. Because then it would have completely changed our conversation. It would have changed that moment. Now, here's the thing about that verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It doesn't say that we should give thanks for all circumstances. And that's where we get messed up. Because it's tough to go, "God, I thank you for this." It's tough to give thanks for all circumstances, but you can give thanks in all circumstances. You can be walking through whatever you're walking through and say, God, I don't understand what I'm walking through, and I'm not thanking you for this, but I'm thanking you through this. I'm not thanking you for the season that I'm walking through right now. I'm not thanking you for the illness. I'm not thanking you for the strife or the conflict in my home, but God, I'm going to thank you through it. I'm going to thank you in it. I'm going to be a person of gratitude even in the middle of this. God. And so it's all has to do with kind of how we're thinking. We can go, well, I'm not thanking you that I wrecked both my cars, but God, I can thank you that we have two cars, because there's some families, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the difference between thanking for and thanking in. We can go, man, God, I'm not happy about these electric bills, but God, I thank you that I have a house and power to cool it. God, I'm not thankful for my boss, but I'm thankful that in the midst of a boss that maybe not treating me well, I'm thankful in this circumstance that you've given me a job and income. You see what I'm saying? Even no matter what we're walking through, we can thank him in the middle of something, even if we're not thanking him for that. Amen. You know, this morning, we got in late last night and got up this morning. I'm still kind of on East Coast time, so I got up a little bit early this morning and I popped down to the little breakfast area at the hotel. And as I'm sitting there, there's several people down there eating, and so there's a gentleman's probably about mid-70s, and he's standing there, and he's just getting his plate, and somebody walked up, and they bumped into him, oh, I'm sorry, and so they kind of start talking. I'm standing there just kind of hearing it, and they said, what brings you here? And he said, I had to evacuate my home. And then she's like, oh, and then he just, here's this grown man, 75 years old probably, just starts weeping. He said, I lost it all. Said, I sat there and watched the house on one side of the house next to us on this side catch on fire, and then the house on this side catch on fire, and then I just, we got out of there, and we just watched ours burn. There's nothing we could do. He's like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I'm sitting there going, man, I've been complaining about my remodeling project. I've been complaining that I've been working hard in my house, and here's somebody, right? It's a whole different, and he says this in the midst of this. He says, I mean, it could have been worse. At least we got out of there. So here he is, and I don't know about his relationship with God, but I caught something in the attitude that he's saying, you know what? At least I'm alive. They asked him, said, how long are you going to be here? And he said, well, till Tuesday. They said, where are you going to go then? He couldn't get a word out. He goes, again, starts breaking down. And it just, no matter what we're going through, number one, we can find somebody who's going through worse than us. We can find something to be grateful for in the midst of no matter what we're going through. It's entitlement, you know, comparing and complaining, that'll lock you into entitlement. But thanksgiving and praises, that's the evidence of indebtedness. So we want that to mark our life, praise, thanksgiving. Last one, and we'll be done. I think this attitude, having an attitude of gratitude towards God, it'll take you from a relationship with God that's based on sensation to a relationship with God that's based on source. From sensation to source. And I want to focus in right here on verse 19. Verse 19, Jesus says, rise and go, Jesus says to this former leper. He says, rise and go, your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you whole. And this man, his gratitude, his praise, his attitude of thanksgiving, it unlocked something for him. When Jesus said, your faith has made you well, your faith has made you whole, listen to this. He's talking about more than physical healing at that point. That word, if you go back and study that word in the Greek, when he says your faith has made you whole, well, he's talking about physically, emotionally, spiritually. What Jesus is saying there, you have relationship with me. You've gotten in. You've come in. This thanks that you have found in your heart has unlocked something. At our church, we keep everything locked down all the time. We have a school that functions all the time, so there's because of security stuff and all that, as you would well understand, we keep our doors all locked. And so we have these little fobs that we carry around, and I just always have it on me. Like, it's just become such second nature, you know, wallet, phone, keys. I just always, so I go up to these exterior doors of my church, and I'm just always pulling that out, and the thing unlocks, and I can get in. And those rare days when I just forget, like my keys were actually sitting somewhere that was abnormal or somebody else grabbed my keys, those rare days, and I walk up and I just start thinking, oh, I'm sure I have it. Where is it? And then I don't have it. Oh, it's so devastating because I'm locked out at that point. I'm going to have to walk quite a ways. I'm going to have to wait for somebody else. Like, and I just assumed that I had it. I feel like that can happen to us, that we can go, no, I'm thankful for God. No, I have gratitude. I'm fine. I've got that. But sometimes we don't have kind of always what we think we have. Sometimes we're not as grateful as we just assume we have been. And we got to remember that gratefulness unlocks something for us. That gratefulness unlocks a level of relationship with God that we don't get to without gratefulness. There's an awareness of who God is. There's a level of his presence on our life that we only get to. The book of Psalms says, enter his courts with praise. Come into his gates with what? Thanksgiving. Yeah, it's the key. It's what unlocks it. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. It opens up a different level of his presence. See, 10 of these lepers, they wanted restoration, but only one of them cared to find reconciliation. We all want restoration. We're all saying, God, restore my family. God, restore my bank account. God, restore my health. God, restore my success. God, restore. We all want restoration, but do we want reconciliation? Because you know what the real goal is? You know what the real win is? It's knowing Jesus. It's knowing that I'm doing life and I'm not doing it alone, but God's got my back. God's going before me. God's coming in behind me. That even when I do walk through something, I can be thankful, not necessarily for it maybe, but I can be thankful in it because I know God's with me. That's the real joy in all this. We can come to church and just get used to going through the motions and kind of doing our thing, assuming that we've got this overwhelming gratitude going on. But sometimes we need to stop and go, you know what? When's the last time I pulled that out of my pocket and said, God, thank you. God, thank you for all you've done for me. Thank you for my family. I've been complaining about them a little bit, God, but I thank you. God, thank you for my spouse. God, thank you for my job. When I first got this job, I was thanking you for it all the time, and now all I do is complain about it. It's the same job. What changed? My attitude. God, thank you for this job. It just changes. And then what you'll see is as you start to do that, God starts to be more real. God starts to be more there. Your faith starts to make you whole in all areas of your life. Let me end with this. There's a book that I heard about. I haven't read it. It's called, I probably won't. Just full disclosure, amen. It's called How Generals Win. It's called How Generals Win. And in the book, it talks about a conqueror. His name was Hannibal. And this is back like 200 BC. Hannibal was from an area called Carthage. It's up kind of in the northeast part of Africa. And he was an emperor. He was winning battles and taking land, and no one could defeat him. And Hannibal had, what he had done in battle is he had learned how he would use elephants in battle. And that's why nobody could defeat him. And the warriors were sitting up so high on these elephants, and they had somehow trained these elephants to follow their commands. And so he was coming in, and they were just wiping out every army that would go against him. And so there was a Roman military man named Africanus, and he was going to go into a battle against Hannibal and his elephants. So he decided, you know what? Let's plan. Let's do something different. Let's do this. What he did is he came up with a new weapon. He gave all of his soldiers trumpets. And when they went into battle, they started blasting those trumpets. And when they were blasting those trumpets, it threw those elephants off so crazy. It scared them. It got them all running all kinds of wrong directions. And in this book, they trace back that battle of Carthage, where these trumpets were used against Hannibal's elephants. They trace that back really to the catalyst of the Roman Empire. Like, that's really where the Roman Empire started. Romans started taking over land, and it began with that battle, where somebody found a different weapon than they had been using. Here's why I share that. I'm sure that there's some people in this room, and you have felt a little bit distant from God lately. You felt like God's a million miles away. You felt like you're walking through something. You felt like maybe life isn't as good as it should be. You felt like you're not winning. It's not victorious. There's not a joy. You're just kind of walking through a season where, man, I don't know. God forbid, maybe somebody in this room, maybe it's gotten worse than that. Maybe the depression has been so strong on you that you've contemplated things that nobody in your life wants you to do. Now, I would say this, if that's where you are, it's time to try a new weapon. It's time to get a new sound in your life. What if the sound of gratitude started flowing out of your life? What if you started to raise your voice in praise, not just petition? What if you started to raise your voice, say, God, I'm not entitled to anything. God, I'm indebted to you. God, I thank you. And as that sound rises out, you watch the victory come. You watch as God just starts to show up in your life. That's what I'm going to pray, that we find that new sound of thanksgiving coming out of our life. Would you bow your heads? And as I pray, I would ask you, don't just hear me pray. Here's what I want us to do. I felt like God would want you to kind of reassess and come up with maybe three or four things that you are thankful to him for. Maybe it's relationship with him. Maybe it's forgiveness of your sin. Maybe it's for your family or your income or your house. Whatever it is, I want you to be specific. And can we just take the last 60 seconds here and let's all thank God for all he's done in our life. Father, we love you. I thank you. But I thank you for your word. Grateful for your presence here. Thankful, God, for this amazing church, this gathering. And I pray that a new sound would rise from within us, God, a new level of gratitude, a new level of thanksgiving like we've never seen before, God, a new intentionality to our praise and our thanksgiving to you, because you're worthy, you deserve it, and we're grateful. In Jesus' name, amen.